which comes first, wisdom or endurance? Paul tells us in today's passage that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope is God's love poured into our hearts. Some of you might have heard the saying that's attributed to the German philosopher Nietzsche, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." If your suffering hasn't killed you, you have endurance. Now, I have two wonderful examples of endurance. One is right here in this room. The first is Reverend Randy. Now, if you don't know Reverend Randy very well, you'll know that he's not always fond of the cold season, because in the cold season, he can't wear his sandals. So he has the wisdom to know that in the cold season, he has to wear closed-in shoes so his little toes don't freeze. And he endures that punishment to his feet. He can't wait until spring arrives so that he can get rid of those shoes and put on his Jesus sandals.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He combined together wisdom and endurance as he made his decision. My middle brother, Peter, is also a wonderful example of one who combined together endurance and wisdom. Peter was on the track team in high school. Peter wasn't very fast. That's probably why he was never on the sprinting team. He didn't do dashes. He was a cross-country runner. And in cross-country running, you have a time to pace yourself because you're going for the long haul. Unlike a sprinter who has to have all that energy, give it all at once, and go, 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 and use up all that energy very quickly. Whereas a cross-country runner has to pace himself so they make it through the entire race. Now, granted, Peter was not the best of cross-country runners. Peter never came in first. And there were many times when Peter would walk across the finish line at the end of the race, completely covered in mud because everyone that ran past him kicked up the dirt at him. But he still finished. He endured that race. And over time, he became a better cross-country runner because he started to develop wisdom. He started to understand the components of a cross-country race. He started to learn how to accelerate up a hill and keep going until he reached the very top and not quit halfway up. He learned how to maintain his balance as he went down the hill so he didn't fall down on his face. He learned to run through and around the mud pits that were part of every high school cross-country race, because it just wouldn't be a high school race without someone being able to fall in the mud. And he also learned how to not run right behind someone who would splash it up into his face. He learned how to run over and leap over the tree branches and the pits in the path and come and keep going without falling or twisting his ankle. He learned wisdom from his many races. That wisdom also taught him what to expect when he went to a new high school. There were only so many ways a high school can make a cross-country course on their property. So after a while, he started learning the particular courses at the particular high schools, and he became more successful as he applied his wisdom and kept going with his endurance to do better in the race. We are like cross-country racers. We too need to use our wisdom and our endurance. Being a follower of Jesus the Christ is not a sprint. It's not something you're going to do for a week at the highest possible speed, giving up all your energy. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is being a cross-country race, for it's for your life, not just for a short period of time. And there are times in our lives as believers in Jesus the Christ that we suffer as a believer. Maybe we're not getting mud in our face, but maybe we're having to give up habits that we thought were okay but are really not so good for one who's trying to walk in the ways of Christ. In walking with Christ, we learn to make different choices in our lives from the wisdom that we obtain through the Word of God and through our time of prayer and meditation. We walk and we talk in our race as a representative of Christ. Through our suffering, we have learned wisdom. And maybe I'm just really just talking about myself. Maybe it's me that needs to do this, and you're just getting to hear me this morning. I'm reminded, and I continue to learn that prayer is certainly much more helpful in my life than worry. That reading God's word is more beneficial to my stress level than getting angry in my stress and hitting the wall. Spending time with other believers is lots more fun than being alone. And coming to church when I'm down or depressed is better than staying home, being depressed, falling deeper into that depression when I'm there by myself. For I know that when I come to church, there will be others here who will offer me a hug. And that hug will convey the love of Christ and lift up my spirit. That Christ just seems to be more pronounced when we're gathered together. And it's almost as sometimes when we're gathered together, the promises of Christ just seem more real than when I'm sitting at home by myself. These are things of wisdom that I've learned. So what I've really learned is that our endurance and our wisdom go hand in hand. It's the same as many of our coins. Think of a quarter. On one side is generally Washington, and on the other side is usually an eagle, unless you're looking at one of those specialty quarters like for the states. But, you know, it doesn't matter which side you're looking at. It's still a quarter. It's still 25 cents. It takes both sides to make that quarter, and it takes both wisdom and endurance to grow our faith within ourselves and within each other. And sometimes we get the wisdom first. Maybe you're praying for understanding in a situation, and God gives you an answer. So you have the wisdom first, or maybe someone taught you something, and then because you have that wisdom, you're able to endure what comes your way because you can apply that wisdom to the situation. Yet sometimes we have to have the endurance first. And it's through the endurance that we're reminded of God's never-ending presence. And we learn the wisdom that God is definitely a God that keeps promises. And when God says God will never leave us or forsake us, that means when we're going through the most difficult trials of our life, when we think we have no more endurance, God is there. So it really doesn't matter which one came first. They're both part of our faith journey. What truly matters is our relationship with Jesus. Think within your own mind. Look within your own heart. What is your relationship with Jesus? Are you applying both wisdom and endurance in your daily walk with Christ? I pray that everyone in this room can say, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, because of my relationship with Christ. I pray that you can say, through the wisdom of God, I have grown in my faith. I have endured the trials that have come my way because of the wisdom that God has given me. And through my endurance, as I travel through the valleys and even to the mountaintops, I continue to gain wisdom about myself and God. That is my prayer for each and every one of us in this room this morning. Let us all be cross-country runners, enduring the race that is before us. Like Peter, we learn from that first race, and we take that wisdom with us into the second race and the third race and the lifetime of races. May God richly bless you with wisdom and the power of endurance. Amen. Now,